Welcome to Imagine This Podcast.
The show where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and its incredibly vibrant arts and culture community in a new way.
This new theme, which is different and I like it. Thank you to our
Bobby Drake,
Bobby Digital, Maximum Bobby, all these things. Thank you, Bobby Drake. But I do feel like we are 300 years in the future and I should be wearing a tunic and holding some sort of like glass with fluid that's steaming, you know, walking down a staircase. Like it feels like I'm Space James Bond. That's all. It's just a different vibe. And I like it because it's forward. It's like 300 years forward.
It's super forward. That's right. It's super forward and future looking, just like us.
Just like us.
And what I love, right, is that this is a mission that is almost 2 years in the making of getting Milwaukee super producer Bobby Drake to make a run at our tropical pod theme. We did it.
And it's a huge improvement on the tropical pop theme, which it took me probably a solid year to come around to, like, well, I don't want to cry when I hear this.
Yeah. So thanks, Bobby, for getting us, you know, a new fresh coat of audio paint, if it were, and for our longtime listeners, I hope you will come along with us. We didn't alienate you totally. You might have like listened to like, wait, this isn't the same old American
podcast. Like, wait a second. Thanksgiving happened and suddenly I'm listening to a new podcast.
I'm now 300 years in the future and I'm wearing a tunic and I'm drinking a fluid that's steaming out of a glass. And we've connected with a new interstellar species. Like, it's all these things. And Wisconsin's only 45th in the country in state funding. So that's beautiful. Something to look forward to. Ooh, let's do it. Let's do it. We're now spending 39 cents per capita. Woohoo! All right. Well, that's a foreshadowing of what we'll be talking about a bit. Hey, listener, welcome to Imagine This Podcast. And I'm Mac.
Didn't introduce herself. You can't see, but Lindsay is like, Lindsay can't pull it together.
Right. Yeah, now. Lindsay, like, you're supposed to say, I'm Lindsay. Or are you being like your progeny in 300 years in the future? Are you imagining like they don't have names, they just have sounds like, like that's
I am having a bit of an existential crisis that 300 years in the future are whoever succeeds us has only made progress to be 45th in the nation.
Well, it really doesn't matter anyway, because like 300 years in the future,
it's
going to be a corpo state. It's going to be like a corpo state. It's like the United States of Amazon or something. So it's like, it's not a big deal.
That's right. You know, that's true. 45th in what nation, really?
Exactly, right. Yeah. It's which is a conglomeration of several continents. By that
is
time.
It that right? So maybe that's actually really good because it's out of like 200.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's super good. Yeah. It'll be at least top quartile.
I feel better.
All right, I'm glad I pulled you back from that existential. You got to stop listening to David's playlist of like death songs. You have to not have that in the background as well. All right, listeners. So there you go. That's where you're coming into. Again,
this is what happens when you give us a week off. We have all this pent up energy.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I know the summit feels like last year because that's how the days move by here, like fully. But we actually recently got together some folks after the summit. So just to give you some context. Usually every week as an Imagine team, just this, seven of us, because we include our awesome super volunteer Jason LaTurner in that mix, we get together for a happy hour virtually. And we say happy hour, it isn't necessarily you have to drink alcohol, but rather it's very informal, right? It's very much a culture building time. Actually, we don't call it culture building. That's what the case study brochure will say years later. But then you get the dig. You dig the case. So anyway, we do the thing and we thought, you know, let's open it up. And let's not open it up to folks who not just came to the summit, but who actually submitted a talk to action form. These were like snapshots of what people learned. We ask every attendee after they experienced the session, what did you learn and what are you going to do based off that learning? And so we received about 80 of those sheets. And so we sent invites to all those people who filled out a sheet as a thank you for taking the time to share with us what you got out of the experience. And hey, let us know how you're doing. you know, a week later. So we just sort of sent a general invite. And so we had a happy hour over at the Art Bar in River West. And we were joined by a group of attendees that, you know, continue to hang out with us. And yeah. So that's what happened the other night. So it's a bit of a lark, like everything in this place. It's a bit of a, hey, let's try it. Let's see what happens. So
not everything. I mean, there was, you all were very planful about it insofar as like how we were going to like sort of bring people together to get them to get everybody to just get to know each other a little bit more. Right. And Mac actually, for those of you who know him, this might not be a surprise. And I remarked to the team, this is why we hired him. He came with a little baggie of like these like question cards to like get people talking to each other. And that was the sort of like brief activity that we did, right?
I am a nerd. I have a baggie of question cards, index cards with questions on it.
And of course, Mac would come, right? With a bag of like questions and also drawings. We didn't get to the drawing fun and games part.
Yeah.
Of the baggie, unfortunately.
So yeah, that's right. That we did, even though we're there for about an hour, we just did a light sort of programming where we played a game where everyone would pair up and take a go at these questions and with each other. And so the hypothesis was that it would invite people to feel more welcome and into it. And I think that's mission accomplished. But I don't know, I'll defer to you, Lindsay. How did you experience that? You don't have to tell us what you talked about, but I don't know how it landed on you having to do that.
Mm-hmm. Every opportunity to be back with people in person still feels very novel, right? And it was really wonderful to be in this space, literally surrounded by art, and have a chance to reconnect with some old familiar faces and meet some people that were totally new that I hadn't had the chance to talk to, even though they had been at our summit. It was a day of being, you know, running around and being in different pockets. So it was nice to have a chance to really talk with these people who are all about the work. So, and connect on a person level too. Yeah.
I think a part of like what we're about, right, is about authentic connection. And I think what was really interesting, and I think this is sort of a uniquely imagined moment. The person I was talking to, I had as we all were paired off, right, and y'all got a question. And my question was something about what's a strange occurrence you've noticed and what has it like taught you about yourself or something along those lines. And I shared this thing that has really struck me over the last few weeks and months and years is that like, I don't really know anything. This idea that like, you know, I understand the vacuum of space, right? Like I understand that as a fact, but I don't really understand why. And I don't understand the experience of it. Like I look up at the sky, I'm like, I know the sky's blue. I know there are clouds, but I don't understand it, right? I know it because somebody told me that, you know, these things are true and whatever. And for the person I was speaking to, apparently that led her down like a path of wonder and curiosity. And of course, afterwards, Lindsay spoke with Maggie and Lindsay was like, why did you share the full volume of David right in that moment? Like
you need to dose David out. You're saying you got to dose it out. Why did you go uncut David? Like,
yeah.
Full bore of like, yeah, I don't know. Uniquely imagined moment. And of course, Lindsay reminded me how exhausting it is to
David, the analogy of what you described to me is like when someone says, oh, I know my times tables. Like I know 5 times 5 = 25. Like I know that. But then the next level is like, I don't know the relation.
I don't understand
numbers to each other. Right. That, which is common core math. Right. Like when my daughter would show me like, this is 5 times 5. And she would show me the intricate ways. I'm like,
the gymnastics she has to do.
Exactly. Like, that's because the hypothesis is again, I know the relations to these numbers to each other. Therefore, I'll be better served as opposed to me and you would just memorize 5 times 5. Right. So there you go. The answer is Common Core math, David. The answer is Common Core math.
If you can do Common Core other things, maybe that'll help me understand
things
better.
You need access to the Common Core other things. Well, thanks to those who came out and hung with us. And I think the other feedback we got is we got to do it again or keep going because people really enjoyed that time. And also shout out to Wanye Frazier, who's definitely been engaged. He's over at Wolf Studios. He's, you know, come out to our work groups. He actually offered it up. He's like, you know, some people want to just get together to hang. Can you make that happen? And we're like, okay, sure. Let's try it. And so asking, he shall experience. So thanks for those coming out, and stay tuned, and maybe we'll promo them on upcoming podcasts, because maybe our Podcast Nation fans can come out.
They want to come too. Yeah, that's right.
We'll do it. Or maybe we'll threaten a live recording with whoever shows up.
100th episode is coming up pretty soon, right? Didn't we say we wanted to do something in the Deer District?
Deer District. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else is going on, David and Lindsay? Do you like that segue? What else is going on?
Yeah. Well, I'm back focused on the podcast, listeners. I was multitasking for a little bit because we, hot off the presses, were finally able to share a pretty great advocacy campaign video from our friends at Creative Northern and N43. So yes. ARPA advocacy, that's what's up and new. David,
American Rescue Plan.
Yeah, that's right. American Rescue Plan Act.
Act, ARPA.
Act at the end if you're the county, just American Rescue Plan if you're the city. But we are advocating for allocations from both. So David, talk to us more about what we've been up to there.
Yeah, so, you know, for those of you who've been following the podcast and following Imagine Stuff, since the spring of last year, we've been calling for the city and the county to invest at least 2% of its ARPA funds or ARP funds into arts, culture, and creativity. For context, for those of you who have not been following, the city, the county, and the school district have gotten $1.3 billion, it's billion with a B, of these federal aid dollars to help industries most impacted by COVID recover. And as we all know, the power of arts, culture, and creativity as a driver for connection, for economic development, for neighbor development, for health, for all the things that we think are important. That's why we should at least invest 2.2% of all of these funds in our sector. So for those of you playing along at home, the city went through its process to allocate half of their allocation of the ARP funds. And then now the county is beginning to do the same. And it appears there was an ARP task force meeting last Thursday. And there apparently was a little bit of a call for the ARP task force to begin hearing the ask of allocating 2% of ARP funding into arts and culture. And it appears that in the new year, in January, I think on January 13th, the ARP task force will be taking up the county's ARP task force will be taking up a funding item for investing somewhere on the order of $3.6 million into arts, culture, and creativity. And along with that, creating an integrated arts and culture office at the city and county level. So because of that, and also because of the fact that the city also has a second half of ARP dollars to allocate, we are launching or have launched a ARP advocacy campaign, which asks every individual who hears our voice or goes to the museum or goes to the symphony or goes to the rep or any arts and cultural institution to reach out to your elected officials to tell them that you want them to invest 2% of ARP dollars into our sector as a way of restarting Milwaukee and Milwaukee's creative industries. And we will be linking to all of these materials in the show notes. As Lindsay said, our good friends over at N43 Records and Creative Northern made a super fun video that's on our socials. We really want to turn out.
I don't know. Super fun.
Fun isn't like in. Hopefully.
Well, super okay. Okay. Fun. Okay. Just it's beautiful visually. Well done, and it expresses the stats that we know of 0.02% of the city's budget toward arts and culture. So fun, maybe not fun, but effective. Like it is a campaign video.
Effective video. Yeah. That's right. Sure. Yeah. Super effective video.
David also describes getting vaccinated. Yeah, super fun. Super fun getting my super fun booster or like, you know, do my taxes. Ah, super fun meeting with the accountant.
My special Spotify playlist, also super fun.
Yes,
that's right.
Awesome. So we'd love for folks to take action. We'll have materials on the show notes And we need people to raise their voice, right? Because this is the moment, right? In going into January, into the spring, when these decisions are being made, it's so important for people to hear from our listeners and other supporters of arts and culture to make sure that this money, which is literally meant to aid industries impacted by COVID, to recover and restart. I can't think of another industry that is that has been impacted more, right, than the arts, culture, and creative industries.
So that's a little bit of business, right? And I'm really excited to pivot to what we're going to be talking about after the break, which is talking about the upcoming production of Black Nativity, being produced by Black Arts MKE. And we'll be having on Damante Henning and Barbara Wanzo to talk about that, which is running for one weekend, December 9th to the 12th, which would be this upcoming weekend after this pod episode comes out. And so we're excited to talk to them a little bit about Damante. He's honored to be the director of this edition of Black Nativity. He is a born and raised, went to Riverside High School, then Milwaukee School of the Arts, and then later went to UWM. And since then, serves as the artistic director for the theater arts organization Lights, Camera, Soul, founding member of the Milwaukee Black Theater Festival. And he's also had additional training from Milwaukee Rep Theater's Emerging Professional Residency Program. And so he's also not just on stage, but also has guest starred on local productions such as Chicago's Chicago PD on the NBC. So he's much like Malkia Snapley, like triple threat. We got a bunch of those in town. Excited to have him after the break. He's joined by Barbara Wanzo, who's the executive director for Black Arts MKE. Black Arts MKE's mission is to increase the availability and quality of quality African-American arts and culture. They work with over 100 performing artists of color each year and to be a catalyst for advancing racial equity and inclusion in Milwaukee, bringing people of all backgrounds together to create a more culturally vibrant and growing community. Herself has invested over 25 years in the corporate sector, employing her leadership expertise with new business startups, tech, sales, and marketing, and then jumped over to hold this role of Black Arts MK since 2012. And she is also on the Next Door Foundation board, as well as the Black Arts Fest MKE board. And a graduate of Marquette University yourself. So after the break, Damante and Barbara. Welcome, Barbara and Damante.
Thank you.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Where was all the energy from when we were coming out of the green
just
room?
Just to be real, so, before we cut into this, it was like we're interrupting each other. There's giggling. And it's like, hi, welcome. Pause. Great to be
you
here.
You forgot to put the welcome on the list of questions.
Right. You can't tell. It's an audio podcast, but Damante was like blinking like SOS with his eyes.
Like, help me. Like help us. What's going on?
Oh, that's funny.
What's going on? Help me. All right. Fair enough. Welcome. Thanks so much for being on the pod. And we're so excited to talk about Black Nativity, which even though it's an annual event and an annual performance, obviously every year is different, right? So it's going to be exciting to hear about what makes this year unique and the direction of this year. But before we get into the main entree of the conversation, we always like to get to know both of our guests, in this case, both of you. And so one of our favorite questions is your arts and culture origin story a little bit. It's not your total origin story, but we're really curious about an arts and cultural experience that left a strong imprint on you. Could have been a book you read or performance you witnessed, or maybe something you created or performed. Could have been in your formative years, could have been last month. You know, we're really curious about what was resonated with you.
What gives you fire? Yeah.
So Barbara or Damante, please, look forward to hearing for you. What was that?
Sure. I can go first. You know, I don't know about other people, but for me, it's been an evolution, right? Mm-hmm. When I was a little girl, and I'm probably a generation or two behind Damante, I remember one of my, and you'd have to understand, this was the only white wealthy family in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And they took me to what I now know as the symphony. Mm-hmm. But it was a pop series, and it wasn't so much the music, and this was my first experience. It was, what is this thing that white people get all dressed up to go to, mm-hmm. and listen to. I mean, and I was the only Black face in the audience, and it had such an impact on me. I just really wanted to know, what is this? Of course, I now know it's the performing arts, and it was the symphony, mm-hmm. and have a great appreciation for it. I was an avid reader as a child. So I suppose that contributed. I remember getting a little bit older and going to see Andre Lee Ellis plays, and those made me laugh. But there was a play called Yellow Man that I went to, and that was the first play where I think I recognized the difference from just being entertained mm-hmm. to something that moved me and reflected me on stage. That was powerful for me. And then later I might be getting my years mixed up, but I had the privilege, because I traveled extensively, and I had the privilege to actually see Phantom of the Opera with Andrew Lloyd Webber and Sarah Brightman.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, I don't even know how to describe how I felt. Her voice, his mastery, and then there was a little talk with them. I was completely blown away. I think, and then finally, I would say, because I had the privilege of traveling extensively for work, I really gained an appreciation for the local artist. Mm. So for it's not just performing arts for me, it's visual art. Mm-hmm. And so, and I've become quite a collector of art around the world, but particularly of countries of color, if you know, I might say. And so it's been a layering process for me. And so I am really an avid patron. I mean, DeMonte and anybody who's ever worked with me will tell me, will know. I mean, I'm the business person. I'm not the artist, but I sure appreciate the arts. Mm.
Barbara, I also want to say we've done 100 episodes, it feels like, and you're the first one who's given us the variety pack answer. You like gave us the Fritos and the Lays and the, I'm like, wow, you're giving us, I love, because you said, you gave us a heads up, it's going to be in layers. We're like, all right, I'm going to settle in. And you you went symphony and you went Yellow Man play. Oh man. And again, I really appreciate how you acknowledge and a reminder, hey, you don't have to be an artist to appreciate the arts and how it's informed your practice, right?
That's
in
right.
your leadership, in your way. And so thanks for sharing that story. And sure. I looked up.
It was
Yellow
a good
Man
question. It made me think. It was a good question.
And thanks for giving such a layers there. Yeah, I felt like I had like this glacier, you know, just like all the things.
If I could just sort of dive a little bit deeper into this glacier, like what you had said, Barb, that you noticed when you went to the symphony that there was this thing that white people got dressed up for to go to. Did that? And I know a thing that our symphony at the MSO has been trying to work on, right, is a sense of welcome. Mm-hmm. Did you feel unwelcome, or did you sort of feel like I belong here, or you know, or was the curiosity of like this place where white folks got dressed up to go listen to music, did that feel to you, you know, like something impenetrable, I guess?
Well, I was a small child. I think I might have been in my preteens. And honestly, I don't even know if I thought about my comfort level in that mm-hmm. way. But I will tell you, anywhere I would find myself where I'm the only Black person in the room is going to make me extremely uncomfortable. But I was very comfortable with the family I was mm-hmm, with.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I just really wanted to understand it, because I had never been to a live performance like that before. Mm-hmm. And so I was just trying to understand this new world that they've exposed me to.
Mm-hmm. I remember, I think the reason why I resonated with that was it sort of reminded me of the first time I think I went to see a show, like in, mm-hmm. I grew up in San Francisco, like the first time I went to see like a play at the Curran Theater or something. And I think I felt the same thing. And I don't think I ever put my finger on it until you just said it. Mm-hmm. But I also never felt unwelcome. It felt mm-hmm. like, it felt like a place, it felt like home to me, right? Like it felt mm-hmm. like a place I wanted to always be in. Mm-hmm. So really interesting. Thanks for that.
Sure.
DeMonte,
how about you?
Yeah, tell us about your story.
you all stories, they are very similar to mine, just in terms of, you know, being the only Black person in the space. But, you know, it's like you were saying, David, it's not like I didn't feel unwelcomed, but it felt like this is where I should be.
Yeah.
But my story goes back to, I was first introduced to the theater and to the arts when I at a very young age. My mother got me a guitar when I was like 4 years old, and that was like my very first introduction to the arts. And wow. You know, my parents always, I feel like they always knew I was an artist, but they just needed to find what type of artist exactly is. But it wasn't until I was in sixth grade, I was enrolled into a theater program, a summer theater training camp. I did that for about 2 years, and then I worked with the Milwaukee Youth Theater my eighth grade year. And then I went to Riverside High School, which is not, you know, their arts program is not very, very big. And so then I transferred to Milwaukee High School of the Arts, and I majored in theater. And that was like, yes, like these are people. And it was great. And I did a lot of things there. I learned a lot. One of the greatest things that, you know, I'm like you, Barb, is that, you know, I learned from other art genres. You know, we had to take dance, we had to take visual art classes, creative writing. And that just, I feel like it made me a stronger, more confident artist, just all around. So, and then I went to UW-Milwaukee for theater, majored there. And then ever since then, I've just been trying to evolve and improve my work as an artist.
I went to a, like you, DeMonte, I went to Performing Arts High School. And however, they did not force us to take classes in other art genres. You were in your focus area, and that was it. Like, you got one elective to like do a different thing, but otherwise they're like, I was a theater major, and that was all, right? Like, you just reading plays, acting, rehearsing, doing that thing. I wish they would have forced us to do other things, because then maybe I could like sing and dance and do all the other stuff.
And even in our theater department, like, we had to, like, they had different levels, and you started off like level one and level two, you did production and performance, just because some people they didn't know which area they wanted to work in,
right?
And then when you got to level three, you had to make a decision. Obviously I chose performance, but just, you know, learning about the production aspect, I feel like has helped me on the other side of, you know, being a director and
a producer. So, DeMonte, now you said that your parents had an inkling that you were going to lean in an artist, but did that speak to themselves having a practice of art, either formal or informal, or is it just the kind of, it's like, he's different from both of us? Because they're, I don't know, maybe they're accountants, or maybe they're, you know, construction. I don't know, right? But it's just wondering what do you, and I guess I'm leaning towards this. Here's my ultimate other question, right? You were able to find this sort of theater this group, if you will, as a high schooler. And again, I, from my knowledge of my own daughters kind of coming up, you know, in high school now, there's a really strong like theater kids vibe, you know what I mean? I'm wondering, did you see yourself in that, or were you kind of just visiting? Like, I love the theater, but like, I don't know if I'm doing this with y'all, you know, like, because this can be kind of pretty intense, you know, I'm just sort of curious about where you saw yourself in that world. So there's a lot there, but unpack what you want.
It's interesting because neither one of my parents, I don't think they consider themselves artists. Like, my dad was a part of the Milwaukee Boppers a long time ago. Like,
oh, wow. Like, okay.
That was his thing. That was like his,
And so I just think that, well, first of all, I used to record myself in front of like the camera. I was like,
that's a giveaway. That's a dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway.
Yeah, we'll have a guitar. And then I was always kind of actively doing something creative, whether it was formal or informal. Like, I would be in the basement, you know, doing wrestling shows. And my mom would be so upset because I was.
DeMonte, they told you not to try this at home. They told you not to try this at home. Yeah, you ignored it. You ignored it. It's good though. Look at you now. You had to do that to get to where you are now.
Rules are meant to be broken sometimes. But so it was a combination of both, informal and formal.
Yeah.
The more I hear your story, DeMonte, the more I'm like, I think we're like brothers or something. We're like the opposite versions of each other, because like that's what I did in my parents' house, doing like basement professional wrestling shows when I was a kid.
Well, not professional. They were just like, you know, it's not professional wrestling. It was amateur, obviously.
Amateur professional.
It wasn't sanctioned by any bodies, and there was no like money transactions changing hands. There was nobody earning anything.
That's so awesome. That's so much fun.
Oh wow! But go ahead, dude.
No, I was just gonna say that, you know, we're blessed, obviously, to have the both of you on the show and also to talk about Black Nativity. But just to back up a little bit, given that we have Barb as the executive director of Black Arts MKE, can you just share a little bit with our crew, mm-hmm. with our listeners, about the mission of Black Arts MKE? I know people know about it. I know it's an important organization in Milwaukee. But just to mm-hmm. give folks mm-hmm. a sort of an overview.
Also, our listeners in Boulder, Colorado. We do a following, so that we and Barbara and
our national listeners. That's right.
We have national listenership. So I think to give
context, that's very cool.
For our national listeners.
You know, the easiest way to talk about Black Arts MKE is that, you know, all art deserves a great platform, a great frame, a great stage, right? That's what we do. We find local talent and we showcase them. So whether that's in music, drumming, dance, theater, spoken word, you name it. And there's just what I was blown away with when I made the shift from corporate to nonprofit is how much talent there is in this community. Everybody talks about, you know, all the segregation and all of that. But when I began to settle into it and got to know the artists in our community, I was just blown away. Yeah. And it deserved a platform. And that's what we are. So we are also in the schools, you know, mostly we focus on elementary students. We try to bring as many of our inner city kids to Black Nativity, for example, as a student matinee as we can. Some years like this year, it'll be, you know, 450 and then a lot at night for community night, but usually it's 1500 or more when we had a, you know, a 2-week run. And, you know, we're looking to expand our public performances, but very specifically in Black theater. And, you know, we're doing it old school, like W.E.B. Du Bois. You know, these are our stories for us, by us, mm-hmm. and hopefully some of them can be near us. Mm-hmm. But it's Milwaukee is a big enough city to have its culture showcased. Mm-hmm. And we've had some things, you know, we stand on the shoulders of the Inner City Arts Council, the Milwaukee Ballet Theater, Uprooted Theater. I mean, there's so many wonderful organizations that have gone out of business, and we're hoping that we can build a stronger future, a more sustainable future for our kids and for our families and for the community as a whole.
So, you know, we were talking about creating and Barbara, you sort of said like you're not an artist, but you know, you lead a platform. You said you create a platform. You create mm-hmm. a platform, and I would offer leadership in itself as an art, right? Because there's no manual for it, and there's lots of changing dynamics.
That's true,
right? That you gotta. There's some science, but the art is the timing. It's the nuance. It's mm-hmm. it's all the things, and obviously, DeMonte, you are an artist, right? You said director, mm-hmm. Actor, right, and producer, all these things. So I'm gonna ask this question. It's directed to both of you, and I wanted to lay that context so it lands on you in the way it should. Hopefully, it lands on you. But I'm really curious to hear, what is it like to create in this particular moment? When I say in this particular moment, it's to name out loud, obviously, multiple crises that our society is facing, right? The polarization that our society is facing, I'm just gonna name them out loud, right? The health crisis that we've had to deal in, and we continue to deal with its variants, which have hindered, you know, our ability to function in ways we're used to. And then obviously for our country, right, the reckoning that continues to happen with regards to race, with regards to Black America, right, in terms of every 3 months, it feels like there's some sort of case that gathers our attention that reminds us where we are or what promises that haven't been kept and what needs to be done. And then the arrow points back to the polarization, all these things that are happening at the same time. Right. And so I'm really curious, I would love to hear from both of you. What does it mean to create in this particular moment, recognizing you both have unique roles. However, there have been no manuals for how you do your roles.
That's awesome.
So we'd really love to hear what it means for you to create and what holds you steady in your creation.
You know, for me, and I kind of developed this philosophy a while ago, it's always an honor and a privilege to create, to be in a space where I can create, because I know that there are millions of people who don't get those opportunities every day, you know? And so whenever I'm in a production or, you know, I'm working on something, it is a privilege and it is an honor, especially during this time that we're living in, you know, I'm not gonna lie, it's not easy. It's not easy, especially considering, you know, the pandemic that we're living in. It's bittersweet, right? Because at the same time, you know, we wanna make sure that people are safe. That is our top priority, or else we can't have a show. So we have to make sure that people are safe. Mm-hmm. But there are also other hurdles that kind of get in the way of just having a normal rehearsal process, having a normal run of a show. But then that's when the creativity starts to come in. You know, that's when we as artists, we have to be creative. Okay, how do we, like you said, there is no manual for this. You know, how do we continue to create a great show and produce a show that people are, you know, the high quality show that people are expecting to see that they've seen in numerous years. It is, like I said, it's an honor and a privilege. It's an honor to work with this cast, to be supported by my creative team, you know, because I shared, you know, this concept for Black Nativity with them like back in August. And they could have said, no, we don't like that idea. You know, we don't like this theme, but they have just been very encouraging and supportive. And it's been, you know, it's just been an honor to work with all of them and to see them take the notes and to just come back and even stronger, you know. It's just, you sit back and you're just like, wow, like, you know, to accomplish all of this in a pandemic, you know, and to just talk briefly about just, you know, race relations and current events, you know, one of the first questions that I ask my cast at the first rehearsal is, what brings you joy? And we have a cast of about 16 people, and about 60% of them said being back in the theater and being back on stage and just, you know, hearing their stories about where they come from and how the pandemic has impacted them, the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, this, we are really changing lives with this production and, you know, just really impacting our artists. And, you know, it's a big responsibility for me, and I don't take it lightly. So it is, I'm very grateful.
Thanks, DeMonte. Barb, for you, what does it mean to create this platform?
You know, I'm going to preface this by saying this. Before George Floyd's murder, I was having a very I can't breathe moment in Milwaukee. I don't want to say that we're post George Floyd or we're post Black Lives Matters, because we're very much still in it, but it's opened up avenues for discussion. And I have felt particularly creative, if you will, with national organizations. You know, one of the first things that happened this year is we were awarded the Black Seed grant award. And probably for one of the first times since I've been in this position, they encouraged us to dream out loud and to really speak your truth, which was very refreshing. So you're asking me, excuse me, what it's like to create in this moment. In this moment, it's been very motivating and very encouraging. And I wanna see that continue. And then I also want us to pay it back, pay it forward rather, in our community.
And the Black Seed, that's an initiative of the NEA, right? The National Endowment for the Arts?
It's an independent
okay.
Yes, organization, a group of very well-known Black theaters, that three theater-related institutions got together and wrote a proposal to Andrew Mellon, the Ford Foundation, and others. So
that's the national aspect, right? It's outside of the usual suspects, if you will, of that. And so, awesome.
Exactly.
Right. And I believe, if I remember correctly, Ford Foundation nationally has been doing a lot of work around preserving America's treasures, which include what you're talking about, Black theater.
Right. That's right.
All right. Now I'm connecting all the dots. But but to your point, it's really exciting to see you bring in resources from a national perspective, right, into Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
Which is super important, super powerful. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And on.
I'm going to take this moment just to horn in really quickly, because it would be we would not be doing our job if we didn't know that there is that there's so much American Rescue Plan Act funds right now in in Milwaukee as it relates to how Milwaukee is going to plan to restart its city county school districts, just the region coming out of the pandemic. And, you know, we sort of talked about the history of Black theater just now. It just reminded me that, like, a lot of what came out of the Great Depression was all of these WPA Works projects that really infused and created a sense of at least in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, the growth of Black voices, because of the Federal Theater Project and all of the WPA projects. And I think this is an incredible opportunity for our city, county, and school districts to do the same thing here in Milwaukee, right?
Because That's right.
I mean, sort of reflecting back to your point, Barb, earlier about like the amount of creative talent here in Milwaukee, it's incredible. We just invested in the creative talent and the organizations here, just think about the stuff that could come out of our region. That would become sort of a standard, right, for not only Wisconsin, not only the Great Lakes area, but also for the country.
Can I just jump in on that?
Well said.
This about the talent here in Milwaukee. It's so true. There's so much talent here. And, you know, that's part of the reason why we have the Milwaukee Black Theater Festival, which Black Arts MKE has sponsored. You know, it's an opportunity to pour into those talent. You know, we just premiered a new play called Eeny, Meeny, Miny, No by LaCrissa Granberry, who's a local playwright here. Melena Moore, her play White Privilege. So it's providing those opportunities.
That's right.
We're investing in our own community so that, you know, we can have a thriving art city.
Yeah. Black playwrights write and work with Black actors and Black producers. And you can see the production chain, right? And if that happens more often, then you create this hotbed, right, of more talent staying here, as opposed to going to other places like the coasts or something like that, right? And so let's keep it here. Let's keep it going here. So we wanted to say that out loud so then we can write that on the next proposal we do with you all, right? To outline why we need to invest more in talent here, right? And how do we bring in the Milwaukee School for the Arts and MATC and UWM, right? Because DeMonte, you're homegrown, right? You're an example of coming out of this, you know, this intentional plan of doing it from the ground up. How do we keep, you know, grow talent and tell this uniquely Milwaukee story, right? Yeah, which is a unique geography where it's located and our history. Right. Which speaks to that and transitions to Langston Hughes, who wrote, like, DeMonte smiled. He's like, oh, that's an interesting way to do it. All right.
I'm taking notes from y'all. Like,
Well, I mean, Langston Hughes, right. That's part of that tradition, right. You know, of the 40s and 50s and 60s. And I got to say, like, when it's a reminder of the breadth and prolificness. I made up that word of Langston Hughes because I didn't realize he wrote Black Nativity, although it's one of his pieces, right, that he's created. And it's an annual production for you all. And so would love to, that's why you're on the show, you got to plug it. But, you know, it's not just plugging it. We get to hear the passion behind what, and you were talking this earlier, DeMonte. There's something unique about this time where it's focusing on joy when the national stories cannot be around joy a lot of times. It's a lot easier not to be in joy, centered in joy. Yeah, and we need more of that joy, possibly, as much as possible. So love to hear sort of tell us about what you're excited about this year's edition. Not to say the previous wasn't, but what are you excited about this?
I am very excited because we have a lot of new elements, a lot of things that I experimented on.
Barbara's nodding. Is Barbara like the producer? He's like, what are you doing?
Yes, he did.
like, okay, tell me how this is anything like Black Kids. You just get head and hands, like massaging the temples.
Right.
There's an F-45 jet that just flies around. Right. All right, back. No,
it really is a passion project of mine. Yeah. Because, like you said, you know, the media coverage, it's just so heavy. And you know, the theme this year is for the culture, and I just feel like the culture has been. I mean, even before like the George Floyd incident, before the pandemic, it's like, you know, we've been struggling and just trying to get the attention, like our stories matter. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why I wanted to do For the Culture this year is to bring that joy back into our community, to understand that, you know, yes, we have struggle, yes, we have pain, difficulties, but, you know, we were here because of the birth of Jesus Christ. And this play is about celebrating Black life. It is about being unapologetically Black. To hear my cast say that I'm in a room full of Black artists, I've never been in that space before, like that, it's great to hear, but I'm like, okay, that has to change. And the responsibility that I have as a director of this show is huge. You know, I don't take it lightly. I understand that, you know, we have a lot of young people coming to see the show, and what that means to see, you know, a young person on stage talking about Jesus, talking about God, acting, singing, all of that is a huge responsibility for me. And I'm grateful to be in that position. So while we do talk about the joys, we also don't ignore the realities of the situation. You know, we know that COVID happens, we know that violence happens. But at the end of the day, I just hope that people understand that, you know, we're a community, and that we have a responsibility to look out for each other. We all live complex lives, but just understanding that, you know, if I can understand your story, and if you're able to if we're able to reach out to somebody, and I just think that brings community, that brings us closer together, and what better way to do that than art and theater. So
I think there's something that's so like incredible, right, about Black nativity, and that like in the time that Hughes wrote it, sort of like just the head of the civil rights movement, it is an incredibly powerful depiction. Sort of go back to 1960, right? To see this, right, as somebody who maybe, you know, is not from Chicago or New York City, like how that would change somebody's view. Or potentially see a different understanding, right, of a story. And I think, as you sort of were talking about the kind of re-envisioning, but the sort of the new thematic elements that you've brought to the show in 2021. I mean, 2021 is obviously different from 61, but then the it feels like as much as things have changed, many of the things haven't, right? Like this idea that Black Lives Matter still is a thing in 2021 when it just is what, right? Like we are going the third decade of the 21st mm-hmm. century. What is happening, right? And so it feels in some ways that like it's such a unique moment for this play, despite the fact that it is an annual production, but in 2021, to sort of have this moment to revisit this important story about envisioning the story of Christ in this way, right? It is just I think super exciting.
It's just very exciting, and we were just talking yesterday at rehearsal just about, you know back in the past, like in the 90s, and how, you know, these. It's been called the Black Lives Matter movement since like the past 10 years or whatever. Yeah. But like you said, these things have been going on for decades, for centuries. And, you know, I was just saying, like, you know, even when I think back to the 90s, and you think about like all of just everything that's happened, like we don't need to name like all of the systemic racism that happens, because it's been going on for centuries. But you just think about from the 90s till now, like now we're starting to see that change happen. Like in the past, like what, 2-3 years, now organizations are starting to really, you know, you start to see that representation. You start to see, you know, these companies like, oh, well, maybe we should think about, you know, the diversity and the inclusion. Yeah. And so it just makes me, you know, it just makes me think back like, wow, like it has taken this long to get where we should have been 30 years ago. But you got to start somewhere, and we just got to keep moving that needle forward, you know, inch by inch by inch. And it starts with, you know, conversations like this, like we mentioned before, funding and resources and things of that nature. So,
you know, and DeMonte, it's also, I'm hearing, you know, it's going to be a powerful performance because that's, you know, you're the producer and director. You want a good show and it's going to be great, but you're also acknowledging the process of it itself for those for those performers is going to be special for them too. And for what you're saying is you don't want that to be an anomaly, what they're experiencing, the sense of belonging that they have and that as artists in that they can be at home with with their other fellow artists on stage, and that in Milwaukee it's less of a rarity, to your point, right? Like so you, it's not lost on me, or it lands on me very powerfully how you're very mindful of this moment for them, right? And then like to pull it full circle, right, Barbara, hopefully David and I aren't interviewing people on the same podcast 10 years from now. That means we're really bad at succession planning, right? But somebody may say Black Nativity was my arts and culture, you know, moment. Yeah. You know, for some young person, they're gonna like, man, I saw that, and that was my imprint. That's the one that got me on a path, you know, to think about this in a different way.
I think what's interesting too, and this is that thing about like arts performance and creativity having cultural context, right? I think Black Nativity in 2021 is different than Black Nativity in 2015 or 14 you know, I would say like pre-Michael Brown, potentially, right? Like, it's just the cultural context is different. And like, I think you're seeing the show this year, given, I think we took last year off, right? Because nothing was happening last
That's
year.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. So, I mean, I think this is the moment, right? For folks to see the show with, I think, a new lens potentially, or a lens that has been missing for a while. Or needed, much needed, right? It just sort of changes the way in which somebody can think about or engage with the show.
Yeah, and we've been talking. Oh, go ahead, DeMonte. Go ahead,
yeah, sorry. A lot of new elements. Just to briefly, mention that, you know, this show is going to be nothing like people have seen in previous years. We have new costumes, a new original song that our music director Antoine Reynolds has written, new choreography, a new band. So I mean, we still stick to the integrity of Langston Hughes and his words, but I mean, it is just, it's a new show and I'm really excited for people to come check it out.
Well, you know, it's not lost on David and I that both of you are strong, powerful leaders with a strong point of view about arts and culture in Milwaukee. So this next question is going to be perfect for y'all. We have the power of making both of you the czar and czarina, if you will, of arts and culture in Milwaukee. So you can pass anything, any laws, policies affiliated with that. It only lasts as long as our podcast. So it's a very fleeting.
This is the reason why we ask it at the end, because if it started at the beginning, it would change power.
We never have a podcast. The person would just stay on forever. So would love to hear from you. What would be for each of you? You get your own policy, you get the pass. Or maybe you're really good at collaboration. You form one super policy. I'll leave that to both of you. What would you want to pass for arts and culture in Milwaukee?
Well, for me, I really want to see the arts prioritized in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, if I could change anything, that is what I would change, because it would have the power to impact not only us, but arts organizations across the state. And David knows of what I speak. And I'd also make performing arts, I'd put it back in our public schools. Our kids need it. It's so critical to them. We know from our camp to building self-esteem. I mean, just think about what the trauma they're experiencing day in, day out. It's a release. So it's not you know, performing arts for performing arts sake. It is helping them develop their social and emotional skills. Mm-hmm. It really is critical. I feel very strongly about getting the performing arts back in our schools. So that, if I were czar.
You are czar. What do you mean, if well, I, you are czar?
Yeah,
for about three more minutes, you're czar.
Well, those are the two things that I would make happen.
All right. Thank you, Barb. DeMonte.
Yeah.
I agree with Barb. I think there has to be a lot more resources and funding put into the arts, into our city. I would also initiate. So first, okay, so that would be the first one. And then it's like a ripple effect. So you have more resources. Then hopefully that would attract and retain more people to stay in our mm-hmm. city, because then you would have a lot more resources, a lot more opportunities, and not just in one central location. Like mm-hmm. it would need to be spread out throughout the city. So mm-hmm. I would create organizations, you know, new organizations for them to have that like infrastructure, you know, mm-hmm. funding, so that people can, so that it's across the city and not just in one central location, so that we're touching everybody.
All the zip codes. All the zip codes. Wow. We can get behind that. I think even though your reign has been a glorious, you know, it was a great reign. Dave and I are definitely committed, or at least imagine in our roles, carrying out through Imagine, not just to record podcasts, but to carry out how to make sure that this state increases its priority of arts and culture, so it's reflected in its spending priorities and investment. As David is quick to cite, arts and culture generates so much revenue, actual mm-hmm. revenue for the state, but it ain't coming exactly. back around, right? Ain't coming, you know. So we gotta even that out. But also, how do we make sure that our children in the schools interface with it sooner, so it's a chance for them to help them find their identities, have a sense mm-hmm. of belonging, help them find their voice as they're dealing with all these things we just mentioned before, right? They're living with. And you know, DeMonte's talking about let's create a citywide infrastructure, right? So it isn't just in the third ward, it ain't just by the lake, you know, but rather that this is present all throughout Milwaukee, where these artists and these opportunities are all over, right? So folks can be working close to home. And David is really into that. Yeah.
And it is happening. So I just found out there's a new organization. It's kind of a plug a little bit.
All right.
Creative Corridor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
Ray like Nitty.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. That's cute. That's great. You know what yeah. I mean? I'm like, yeah. that's what we need more of.
Yeah. That's great.
Wow. You know, I think just to underscore this point, you know, and I don't know why we've never said this at Imagine MKE, and this is probably the first time I'm saying this publicly. For whatever reason, I don't know why.
Too hot for pod. Too
hot for pod. Just really interesting. It's like I think I and Imagine, and I think the people we work with, I think all sort of like understand this to be true, but nobody's ever said it, which is that access to arts, culture, and creativity is an equity issue, right? Like the fact that like it's the resources have been so directed in one way, or the access to it the resources have been accessed by a certain population for so long. I think insofar as our role right in the system is we have to raise up the fact that this is an equity issue, and we need to ensure that like the ways in which that those resources are distributed just get distributed a little bit more equitably, I think is a very I think that's essentially what your reins as arts and cultures are sort of bring to light, right? That mm-hmm. that like this is really an equity issue for our, not only our city, but our residents.
Yeah. And Barbara, that story you shared earlier, where your experience of going to the symphony was a place yeah, exactly. of, this is where white that's people right. go to listen. Right. This is not a knock on the symphony, but I'm sure that's a story that's still the same today. Right. And then insert another entity, right. That, mm-hmm. and that's your point, Barbara, where it goes to access and opportunity, that shouldn't be a 2021 story for a young.
Well, anything, young I think that. Anything that causes you to, you know, that encourages curiosity and encourages you to ask questions. I mean, I thank the symphony for that. Yeah. I didn't even know that it was the symphony when I was there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's definitely not that.
And Barbara, the symphony's working on it, right? I'm sure they care about that, but it's also bigger than symphony, right? This is something collect across, mm-hmm. you know, it just shows up there. It just happened to show up there, but you can insert other cultural institution.
And that's true.
They're grappling with that too, right? Mm-hmm. Wow, we are so grateful for the time you spent with us as this calendar year is dwindling. Yeah. You, DeMonte and Barbara, you get to, because you're a December interview, you get access to this really special question, which is, we're winding on this calendar year. What are you taking with you from this year into 2022? What are you leaving behind? This is only for December guests only. December guests only get this. This is fun. So go
well,
ahead.
I guess I would say there's so much hopefulness, you know, in the air. And I'm going to take that with me. I'm very excited for 2022. And what, you know, I really want to leave behind are actor equity COVID protocol.
We're laughing, but it's so true. You're like, it's so right. Like, yeah.
September 28th, I felt like my world fell apart when they changed the equity protocols. And it was, I think everybody felt that across the board, but I really want to leave that behind.
Yeah. DeMonte, for you, what are you taking with you and what are you leaving behind?
I am taking motivation and determination. It has, you know, this has been a very interesting year. It's been a great year. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to continue that into 2020. I am leaving, 2022.
DeMonte's going back into 2020.
Yeah.
He's going to go invest. He's going to invest in mask making companies.
That's
he's
right.
going
to That's right. January 2020, we're buying all the masks.
All the masks. Right. Right. Buy all the masks.
And hand sanitizer. But anyway, what am I leaving behind? Just doubt, you know, just doubt and yeah, no room for doubt. No room.
Thanks so much, y'all. And we'll wrap it up. The plug section. How can our audience, our listeners, not just Milwaukee, but beyond find you and please remind us again about the production again. Let's give us one more round of plugs. Tell us about it.
Well, they can find us at blackartsmke.org.
Great.
So all you need to know, and you can even find out about Black Nativity there.
Yeah.
And Black Nativity is playing at the, Wilson Theater at Vogel Hall.
Okay.
At the Mamarcus Performing Arts Center.
Yeah.
And they can simply call the box office. It's playing December 9th is community night. So, you know, which is really great this year. Youth 18 and under $5.
All right.
And then adults $20, but we're also playing through the 12th. There's also a matinee on Saturday, you know, might be of interest to some families.
Yeah.
So come out and see Black Nativity and support DeMonte and the whole cast and crew. We really need you to support us. And, you know, we're being safe. We're following, the Marcus Center is following all of the recommended protocols. And so people will be vaccinated or will have demonstrated a negative test within 72 hours and we'll all be wearing masks. So not to worry, come out and enjoy Black Nativity.
Awesome. Yep. DeMonte, how can they find you?
I am on Instagram at Monte_DH. Yeah. Facebook, you know, and you can also find me at Black Nativity.
Yeah.
More time, just running next week. December 9th, the 12th at the Market Center. I will be there. Our cast will be there. It's going to be a good time.
Awesome. That's so great. Thank you both so much for joining us. This is such a fun and great conversation. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that was so cool.
Yeah. Really cool. I really enjoyed, I think, their that sense of connection and creativity, right? That like you have to have the connection in order to have the creativity, and and I think the care and the privilege, right, that DeMonte talks about having the ability to create in a time in which we're so disconnected, I think is so inspiring to hear him talk about.
Mm. And I'm really excited that again that this piece is coming up and it's happening this coming weekend. And again, the direction of it, which is around joy, which is in short supply. And it's great that they've not only Yeah, you know, there's something, David, we talk about a lot in our own shop, where we say that, hey, if we want to have the external arts and culture in Milwaukee change, we got to make sure we're doing the things ourselves. And it sounds like he's doing the same thing in his shop, right? Like those rehearsals and the community he's building with those creators and artists in that production, he wants to make sure that that culture is so strong, right? Yeah. So that once they take the stage, it just manifests itself. People experience and see that, right? And it's really clear that he's very serious about that. And then also weaving that with every other production he leads and or is part of, right? And so that's super inspiring. And it's also great to meet Barb and connect with her about the work they've done at Black Arts and that they'll continue to do. And I'm excited to partner up with them, you know, in the future about that.
I think too, it should go without saying that, you know, I don't know if you caught any of it, right? But the additions, right, to the innovations to the show that DeMonte brought, I think it goes without saying that I think Barb's openness to that as the producer is, I think, also a testament to, like, you know, that works of art always change, right? Like as you continue to remount and reproduce, not only does cultural context change, but also the shows themselves change, right? And but that also requires an openness from all of the members of the creative team, producer, director, all of that stuff, right? And I think that shows a sense of that openness also shows a sense of welcome and creativity and joy as well.
You know, it's shown a sense of welcome for us.
Our listeners, of course.
Yes, who've welcomed us into their earballs. Again. Week. Thanks so much again for joining us for this another edition of Imagine This Podcast after our brief recess over the holiday. We're excited to be back with you. If you enjoyed this app and would like to support the pod, tell it to others. Post about it on social, leave a rating and review, or contact us directly at pod@imaginemke.org.
Imagine This Podcast is a team effort produced, edited, and hosted by MacArthur Antigua, David Lee, and Lindsay Sheridan, and is a flagship of the Imagine MKE Podcast Network. Our theme music is produced by the one, the only, Bobby Drake.
Bobby Drake.
Make sure you also listen and subscribe to Black Imagination and back episodes of Arts Forward MKE, all of which can be found at imaginemke.org/podcasts.
To catch all the latest from Imagine MKE, hit us up at Twitter and Instagram @Imagine_MKE. Or if you're on Facebook, it's Imagine MKE. Or go to imaginemke.org and sign up for the Amplifier, where you get David Lee yapping at you every other week to tell you about what's going on in Imagine.
Thanks again, and we will catch you next Tuesday when another incredible guest joins us from Milwaukee's arts and culture world to talk about all the cool stuff that's happening.